How many times have we looked into a clear nighttime sky, looked at thousands upon thousands of stars, and wondered if this mammoth show of splendor was put on just for our nocturnal pleasure? How many times have we wondered if there is any meaning or purpose to what's out there? Our astronomers have been finding out more and more about the physical characteristics of this vast creation, and are noticing in ever-increasing detail the apparent structure and cohesion that exists on such a gigantic scale. But boy, do they have some surprises in store. In fact, the reality of the dimensions of space are beyond the wildest imaginations of even the most far-sighted stargazer. The truth is that the universe of universes contains more stars than there are glasses of water in our world's oceans. But perhaps more importantly, how many times have we wondered if there was life, particularly human life, elsewhere in the universe? On the basis of probability, scientists speculate that there is. Well, they're right. There is. More of it than they ever dreamed possible. The truth about life on other planets is even more staggering than the physical dimensions of creation. Our Earth is part of a universe of around 10 million inhabited worlds, and our universe is only one of 700,000 universes. The full scale of creation is, in fact, so big that it is literally beyond human imagination to comprehend it. And yet, while the starry realms are of such immense proportions, it nevertheless has dimensions. It has outer edges and a top and bottom. And of course, it must and does have a center. The universe of universes actually rotates around the never-beginning, never-ending central universe, where dwells, you guessed it, the creator of all there is. Let me at this point put one misconception to rest once and for all. The term father, he, him, his, etc., in referring to the creator, in no way implies that he is male. He is neither a man nor a woman. He is creator of both, so how could he be either? In fact, if we can bypass the whole male versus female argument and focus more on their complementary natures, the benefits would be considerable. That is, it's quite clear that men and women together can achieve far more than either alone. That's the way he planned it. Our history books tell us that we Earthlings originally conceived of the Earth being the center of the universe. In the 16th century, the Polish astronomer Nicholas Copernicus literally turned the world upside down by suggesting that the Sun was at the center. And from that idea, we have developed our current sun-centered or heliocentric model of our solar system, around which we think the rest of God's domain exists. I'm sure these attitudes bring a wry smile to his face. The truth is that we have one quantum leap still to make, and that is from a heliocentric view of the universe to a God-centered or theocentric concept. Only then can we start to see creation from the point of view from whence it came, through God's eyes. This will help set the framework to better understand the title of this tape, the meaning of our lives as God intends them to be. This whole incredible creation has been made by, cared for, and administered by God and his appointed helpers. And there are many, many more of them than there are stars, billions upon billions. God has created this vast array of assistants to help him run his show, and to run it according to his plans and his will. And yet, although we belong to a well-nigh infinite family of worlds, our sphere is just as precisely administered and just as lovingly fostered as if it were the only inhabited world in all creation. Many of these beings were created in their fully fledged final form, perfect, and they remain perfect. They are individual thinking entities. They are not automatons, and they perform countless tasks, fulfilling God's plans perfectly. There are others who are not created perfect, and you can probably guess who they are. That's right, you and I. And yet, we are still very much part of His plan, even though we may not see it that way. Well then, what is this plan for us? What is this potential meaning in our lives, from the point of view of God looking down, as opposed to us looking up? The myriads of planetary systems were all made to be eventually inhabited by beings who can know God. The ultimate goal of us, His children who dwell on these spheres of time and space, is to find Him, to comprehend His divine nature and recognize Him. In universe reality, we have only one supreme ambition, just one consuming desire, and that is to become on our spheres like He is in His realm. Our mandate, become perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. Now, we can't expect to be perfect in the infinite sense, the theocentric perspective, but it is entirely possible for us human beings to attain this goal which God has set for us. And if we achieve this goal, we will be just as replete in our own sphere of divine perfection as God Himself in His sphere of infinity and eternity. But this path is for us to choose, and we must make this choice individually. We can choose to do it with the help of organized religion, but it is not necessary. We can always do it on our own and in our own individual way. From God's point of view, there are no right and wrong ways. The decision to do it is the only thing that He is concerned with. The Universal Father never imposes any obligatory form of recognition, formal worship, or slavish service on us, His intelligent will creatures of the universes. So, where are we headed if we choose to do things God's way? The truth is that God wants us to join Him on His central universe in a life of eternal service to Him. Unlike many religious beliefs, however, when we leave Earth, we do not go straight to God's presence and spend our time listening to harps, lounging around on cotton wool-like clouds. We've got work to do. And also let me tell you this, eternal life is no bed of roses. The Master Architect has a vast training school in store for us, with many sojourns on many of His worlds, with as many trials and tribulations as we undergo here on earth. The reason being that when we eventually do make it into His actual presence on the stationary central isle of paradise, which is at the hub of the central universe, we will be able to make a valuable contribution to Him. Boy, that's a bit presumptuous, I hear you say. Us? Contribute something significant to God? Surely He is so replete that there is no room for anyone to add anything. Well, not if we look at it from His point of view. God is indeed perfect, but being perfect, He cannot experience failure like we can. He can't sin like we can. Growth is impossible for Him. He can know everything, which He indeed does, but He can't experience it. So, first of all, He wants us to make up our own minds, fair and square, about whether we believe in Him or not. Once we do this, we have the opportunity to get up off the bottom rung of the ladder, where we are now, and via progressive experience throughout His vast training program, we can finally arrive at His right hand and become valuable to Him for the very reason that we have come so far under our own steam, so to speak.